straight toward them. We were out of the forest now, into wide open spaces of cliffs and grass and rocks and fog. I happened to glance down at the ocean as we passed a scenic curve, and I saw something that made me jump out of my seat. Look! But we turned a corner and the ocean disappeared behind the hills. What? Thalia asked. A big white ship, I said. Docked near the beach. It looked like a cruise ship. Her eyes widened. Luke's ship? I wanted to say I wasn't sure. It might be a coincidence, but I knew better. The Princess Andromeda, Luke's demon cruise ship, was docked at that beach. That's why he'd sent his ship all the way down to the Panama Canal. It was the only way to sail it from the East Coast to California.
We will have company then, Zoe said grimly. Kronos's army.
I was about to answer when suddenly the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Thalia shouted, Stop the car! Now! Zoe must have sensed something was wrong because she slammed on the brakes without question. The yellow VW spun twice before coming to a stop at the edge of the cliff. Out! Thalia opened the door and pushed me hard. We both rolled onto the pavement. The next second, boom! Lightning flashed, and Dr. Chase's Volkswagen erupted like a canary yellow grenade. I probably would have been killed by shrapnel except for Thalia's shield, which appeared over me. I heard a sound like metal rain, and when I opened my eyes, we were surrounded by wreckage. Part of the VW's fender had impaled itself in the street. The smoking hood was spinning in circles. Pieces of yellow metal were strewn across the road. I swallowed the taste of smoke out of my mouth and looked at Thalia. You saved my life.
One shall perish by a parent's hand, she muttered. Curse him! He would destroy me? Me?
It took me a second to realize she was talking about her dad. Oh, hey, that couldn't have been Zeus's lightning bolt. No way.
Whose then? Thalia demanded.
I don't know. Zoe said Kronos' name. Maybe he... Thalia shook her head, looking angry and stunned.
No, that wasn't it.
Wait, I said. Where's Zoe?
Zoe!
We both got up and ran around the blasted VW. Nothing inside, nothing either direction down the road. I looked down the cliff, no sign of her.
Zoe!
I shouted. Then she was standing right next to me, pulling me by the arm.
Silence, fool! Do you want to wake Layden?
You mean we're here?
Very close, she said. Follow me.
Sheets of fog were drifting right across the road. Zoe stepped into one of them, and when the fog passed, she was no longer there. Thalia and I looked at each other.
Concentrate on Zoe, Thalia advised. We are following her. Go straight into the fog and keep that in mind.
Wait, Thalia, about what happened back on the pier? I mean, with the manticore and the sacrifice? I don't want to talk about it. You wouldn't actually have, you know. She hesitated.
I was just shocked, that's all.
Zeus didn't send that lightning bolt at the car. It was Kronos. He's trying to manipulate you, make you angry at your dad. She took a deep breath.
Percy, I know you're trying to make me feel better. Thanks, but come on, we need to go.
She stepped into the fog, into the mist, and I followed. When the fog cleared, I was still on the side of the mountain, but the road was dirt. The grass was thicker. The sunset made a blood-red slash across the sea. The summit of the mountain seemed closer now, swirling with storm clouds and raw power. There was only one path to the top, directly in front of us, and it led through a lush meadow of shadows and flowers. The Garden of Twilight, just like I'd seen in my dream.
If it hadn't been for the enormous dragon, the garden would have been the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. The grass shimmered with silvery evening light, and the flowers were such brilliant colors they almost glowed in the dark. Stepping stones of polished black marble led around either side of a 5-story tall apple tree, every bough glittering with golden apples. And I don't mean yellow golden apples like in the grocery store. I mean real golden apples. I can't describe why they were so appealing, but as soon as I smelled their fragrance, I knew that one bite would be the most delicious thing I'd ever tasted.
"The apples of immortality," Thalia said. "Hera's wedding gift from Zeus."
I wanted to step right up and pluck one, except for the dragon coiled around the tree. Now, I don't know what you think of when I say dragon. Whatever it is, it's not scary enough. The serpent's body was as thick as a booster rocket, glinting with coppery scales. He had more heads than I can count, as if 100 deadly pythons had been fused together. He appeared to be asleep. The heads lay curled in a big spaghetti-like mound on the grass, all the eyes closed. Then the shadows in front of us began to move. There was a beautiful, eerie singing, like voices from the bottom of a well. I reached for Riptide, but Zoe stopped my hand. 4 figures shimmered into existence. 4 young women who looked very much like Zoe. They all wore white Greek chitons. Their skin was like caramel. Silky black hair tumbled loose around their shoulders. It was strange, but I never realized how beautiful Zoe was until I saw her siblings, the Hesperides. They looked just like Zoe. Gorgeous, and probably very dangerous.
"Sisters," Zoe said.
"We do not see any sister," one of the girls said coldly. "We see 2 half-bloods and a hunter, all of whom shall soon die."
"You've got it wrong." I stepped forward. "Nobody is going to die."
The girls studied me. They had eyes like volcanic rock, glassy and completely black.
"Perseus Jackson," one of them said.
"Yes," mused another. "I do not see why he is a threat."
"Who said I was a threat?"
The first Hesperid glanced behind her, toward the top of the mountain.
"They fear thee. They are unhappy that this one has not yet killed thee."
She pointed at Thalia.
"Tempting sometimes," Thalia admitted. "But no thanks. He's my friend."
"There are no friends here, daughter of Zeus," the girl said. "Only enemies. Go back."
"Not without Annabeth," Thalia said.
"And Artemis," Zoe said. "We must approach the mountain."
"You know he will kill thee," the girl said. "You are no match for him."
"Artemis must be freed," Zoe insisted. "Let us pass."
The girl shook her head.
"You have no rights here anymore. We have only to raise our voices and Laden will wake."
"He will not hurt me," Zoe said.
"No? And what about thy so-called friends?"
Then Zoe did the last thing I expected. She shouted,
"Laden! Wake!"
The dragon stirred, glittering like a mountain of pennies. The Hesperides yelped and scattered. The lead girl said to Zoe,
"Are you mad?"
"You never had any courage, sister," Zoe said. "That is thy problem."
The dragon Laden was writhing now, 100 heads whipping around, tongues flickering and tasting the air. Zoe took a step forward, her arms raised.
"Zoe, don't," Thalia said. "You're not a Hesperid anymore. He'll kill you."
"Laden is trained to protect the tree," Zoe said. "Skirt around the edges of the garden. Go up the mountain. As long as I am a bigger threat, he should ignore thee."
"Should," I said, not exactly reassuring.
"It is the only way," she said. "Even the 3 of us together cannot fight him."
Laden opened his mouth. The sound of 100 heads hissing at once sent a shiver down my back, and that was before his breath hit me. The smell was like acid. It made my eyes burn, my skin crawl, and my hair stand on end. I remember the time a rat had died inside our apartment wall in New York in the middle of the summer. This stench was like that, except 100 times stronger, and mixed with the smell of chewed eucalyptus. I promised myself right then that I would never ask a school nurse for another cough drop. I wanted to draw my sword, but then I remembered my dream of Zoe and Hercules and how Hercules had failed in a head-on assault. I decided to trust Zoe's judgment. Thalia went left, I went right. Zoe walked straight toward the monster.
"It's me, my little dragon," Zoe said. "Zoe has come back."
Layden shifted forward, then back. Some of the mouths closed, some kept hissing. Dragon confusion. Meanwhile, the Hesperides shimmered and turned into shadows. The voice of the eldest whispered,
"Fool! I used to feed thee by hand," Zoe continued, speaking in a soothing voice as she stepped toward the golden tree. "Do you still like lamb's meat?"
The dragon's eyes glinted. Thalia and I were about halfway around the garden. Ahead, I could see a single rocky trail leading up to the black peak of the mountain. The storm swirled above it, spinning on the summit like it was the axis for the whole world. We'd almost made it out of the meadow when something went wrong. I felt the dragon's mood shift. Maybe Zoe got too close. Maybe the dragon realized he was hungry. Whatever the reason, he lunged at Zoe. 2,000 years of training kept her alive. She dodged one set of slashing fangs and tumbled under another, weaving through the dragon's heads as she ran in our direction, gagging from the monster's horrible breath. I drew Riptide to help.
"No!" Zoe panted. "Run!"
The dragon snapped at her side, and Zoe cried out. Thalia uncovered Aegis, and the dragon hissed. In his moment of indecision, Zoe sprinted past us up the mountain, and we followed. The dragon didn't try to pursue. He hissed and stomped the ground, but I guess he was well-trained to guard that tree. He wasn't going to be lured off, even by the tasty prospect of eating some heroes. We ran up the mountain as the Hesperides resumed their song in the shadows behind us. The music didn't sound so beautiful to me now, more like the soundtrack for a funeral. At the top of the mountain were ruins, blocks of black granite and marble as big as houses, broken columns, statues of bronze that looked as though they'd been half-melted.
"The ruins of Mount Arthurus," Thalia whispered in awe.
"Yes," Zoe said. "It was not here before. This is bad."
"What's Mount Arthurus?" I asked, feeling like a fool as usual.
"The mountain fortress of the Titans," Zoe said. "In the first war, Olympus and Arthurus were the two rival capitals of the world.
Arthurus was..."
She winced and held her side. "You're hurt," I said. "Let me see."
"No, it is nothing. I was saying, in the first war, Arthurus was blasted to pieces."
"But how is it here?" Thalia looked around cautiously as we picked our way through the rubble, past blocks of marble and broken archways.
"It moves in the same way that Olympus moves. It always exists on the edges of civilization, but the fact that it is here, on this mountain, is not good."
"Why?"
"This is Atlas's mountain," Zoe said. "Where he holds..."
She froze. Her voice was ragged with despair.
"Where he used to hold up the sky."
We had reached the summit. A few yards ahead of us, gray clouds swirled in a heavy vortex, making a funnel cloud that almost touched the mountaintop, but instead rested on the shoulders of a 12-year-old girl with auburn hair and a tattered silvery dress, Artemis, her legs bound to the rock with celestial bronze chains. This is what I'd seen in my dream. It hadn't been a cavern roof that Artemis was forced to hold. It was the roof of the world.
"M'lady!"
Zoe rushed forward, but Artemis said,
"Stop! It is a trap. You must leave now."
Her voice was strained. She was drenched in sweat. I'd never seen a goddess in pain before, but the weight of the sky was clearly too much for Artemis. Zoe was crying. She ran forward despite Artemis's protests and tugged at the chains. A booming voice spoke behind us.
Oh, how touching.
We turned. The general was standing there in his brown silk suit. At his side were Luke and half a dozen Dracaena bearing the golden sarcophagus of Kronos. Annabeth stood at Luke's side. She had her hands cuffed behind her back, a gag in her mouth, and Luke was holding the point of his sword to her throat. I met her eyes, trying to ask her 1,000 questions. There was just one message she was sending me, though. Run.
Luke, Thalia snarled. Let her go.
Luke's smile was weak and pale. He looked even worse than he had 3 days ago in D.C.
That is the general's decision, Thalia. But it's good to see you again.
Thalia spat at him. The general chuckled.
So much for old friends. And you, Zoe. It's been a long time. How is my little traitor? I will enjoy killing you.
Do not respond, Artemis groaned. Do not challenge him. Wait a second, I said. You're Atlas? The general glanced at me.
So, even the stupidest of heroes can finally figure something out. Yes, I am Atlas, the general of the Titans and terror of the gods. Congratulations. I will kill you presently, as soon as I deal with this wretched girl.
You're not going to hurt Zoe, I said. I won't let you. The general sneered.
You have no right to interfere, little hero. This is a family matter.
I frowned. A family matter?
Yes, Zoe said bleakly. Atlas is my father.
Chapter 17. I put on a few million extra pounds. The horrible thing was, I could see the family resemblance. Atlas had the same regal expression as Zoe, the same cold, proud look in his eyes that Zoe sometimes got when she was mad, though on him, it looked 1,000 times more evil. He was all the things I'd originally disliked about Zoe, with none of the good I'd come to appreciate.
Let Artemis go, Zoe demanded.
Atlas walked closer to the chained goddess.
Perhaps you'd like to take the sky for her then? Be my guest.
Zoe opened her mouth to speak, but Artemis said,
No, do not offer, Zoe. I forbid you.
Atlas smirked. He knelt next to Artemis and tried to touch her face, but the goddess bit at him, almost taking off his fingers.
Hoo-hoo, Atlas chuckled. You see, daughter, Lady Artemis likes her new job. I think I will have all the Olympians take turns carrying my burden once Lord Kronos rules again, and this is the center of our palace. It will teach those weaklings some humility.
I looked at Annabeth. She was desperately trying to tell me something. She motioned her head toward Luke, but all I could do was stare at her. I had noticed before, but something about her had changed. Her blonde hair was now streaked with gray.
From holding the sky, Thalia muttered, as if she read my mind,
the weight should have killed her. I don't understand, I said. Why can't Artemis just let go of the sky? Atlas laughed.
Ho, ho, ho! How little you understand, young one. This is the point where the sky and the earth first met. Where Uranus and Gaia first brought forth their mighty children, the Titans. The sky still yearns to embrace the Earth.
Someone must hold it at bay, or else it would crush down upon this place, instantly flattening the mountain and everything within 100 leagues. Once you have taken the burden, there is no escape.
Atlas smiled.
Unless someone else takes it from you.
He approached us, studying Thalia and me.
So these are the best heroes of the age, huh? Not much of a challenge.
Fight us, I said, and let's see.
Have the gods taught you nothing? An immortal does not fight a mere mortal directly. It is beneath our dignity. I will have Luke crush you instead.
So you're another coward, I said. Atlas's eyes glowed with hatred. With difficulty, he turned his attention to Thalia.
As for you, daughter of Zeus, it seems Luke was wrong about you.
I wasn't wrong, Luke managed.
He looked terribly weak, and he spoke every word as if it were painful. If I didn't hate his guts so much, I almost would have felt sorry for him.
Thalia, you can still join us. Call the Ophiotaurus, and we'll come to you. Look.
He waved his hand, and next to us a pool of water appeared. A pond ringed in black marble, big enough for the Ophiotaurus. I could imagine Bessie in that pool. In fact, the more I thought about it, the more I was sure I could hear Bessie mooing.
Don't think about him.
Suddenly, Grover's voice was inside my mind. The empathy link. I could feel his emotions. He was on the verge of panic.
I'm losing Bessie. Block the thoughts.
I tried to make my mind go blank. I tried to think about basketball players, skateboards, the different kinds of candy in my mom's shop. Anything but Bessie.
Thalia, call the Ophiotaurus, Luke persisted. And you will be more powerful than the gods.
Luke?
Her voice was full of pain.
What happened to you?
Don't you remember all those times we talked? All those times we cursed the gods? Our fathers have done nothing for us. They have no right to rule the world.
Thalia shook her head.
Free Annabeth! Let her go.
If you join me, Luke promised, it can be like old times, the three of us together, fighting for a better world. Please, Thalia, if you don't agree.
His voice faltered.
It's my last chance. He will use the other way if you don't agree. Please.
I didn't know what he meant. But the fear in his voice sounded real enough. I believed that Luke was in danger. His life depended on Thalia's joining his cause. And I was afraid Thalia might believe it too.
Do not, Thalia, Zoe warned. We must fight them.
Luke waved his hand again, and a fire appeared. A bronze brazier, just like the one at camp, a sacrificial flame.
Thalia!
I said,
no.
Behind Luke, the golden sarcophagus began to glow. As it did, I saw images in the mist all around us, black marble walls rising, the ruins becoming whole, a terrible and beautiful palace rising around us, made of fear and shadow.
We will raise Mount Othrys right here, Luke promised,
in a voice so strained it was hardly his.
Once more, it will be stronger and greater than Olympus. Look, Thalia, we are not weak.
He pointed toward the ocean, and my heart fell. Marching up the side of the mountain from the beach where the Princess Andromeda was docked was a great army. Dracaena and Laestrygonians, monsters and half-bloods, hellhounds, harpies, and other things I couldn't even name. The whole ship must have been emptied, because there were hundreds, many more than I'd seen on board last summer.
and they were marching toward us. In a few minutes, they would be here.
This is only a taste of what's to come, Luke said. Soon we will be ready to storm Camp Half-Blood. And after that, Olympus itself, all we need is your help.
For a terrible moment, Thalia hesitated. She gazed at Luke, her eyes full of pain, as if the only thing she wanted in the world was to believe him. Then she leveled her spear.
You aren't Luke. I don't know you anymore.
Yes, you do, Thalia, he pleaded. Please, don't make him destroy you.
There was no time. If that army got to the top of the hill, we would be overwhelmed. I met Annabeth's eyes again. She nodded. I looked at Thalia and Zoe, and I decided it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to die fighting with friends like this. Now, I said. Together, we charged. Thalia went straight for Luke. The power of her shield was so great that his dragon woman bodyguards fled in a panic, dropping the golden coffin and leaving him alone. But despite his sickly appearance, Luke was still quick with his sword. He snarled like a wild animal and counterattacked. When his sword, Backbiter, met Thalia's shield, a ball of lightning erupted between them, frying the air with yellow tendrils of power. As for me, I did the stupidest thing in my life, which is saying a lot. I attacked the Titan Lord Atlas. He laughed as I approached. A huge javelin appeared in his hands. His silk suit melted into full Greek battle armor.
Go on, then.
Percy, Zoe said. Beware. I knew what she was warning me about. Chiron had told me long ago. Immortals are constrained by ancient rules. But a hero can go anywhere, challenge anyone, as long as he has the nerve. Once I attacked, however, Atlas was free to attack back directly with all his might. I swung my sword, and Atlas knocked me aside with the shaft of his javelin. I flew through the air and slammed into a black wall. It wasn't mist anymore. The palace was rising, brick by brick. It was becoming real.
Fool!
Atlas screamed gleefully, swatting aside one of Zoe's arrows.
Did you think, simply because you could challenge that petty war god, that you could stand up to me?
The mention of Ares sent a jolt through me. I shook off my daze and charged again. If I could get to that pool of water, I could double my strength. The javelin's point slashed toward me like a scythe. I raised Riptide, planning to cut off his weapon at the shaft, but my arm felt like lead. My sword suddenly weighed a ton, and I remembered Ares' warning, spoken on the beach in Los Angeles so long ago. When you need it most, your sword will fail you. Not now, I pleaded, but it was no good. I tried to dodge, but the javelin caught me in the chest and sent me flying like a rag doll. I slammed into the ground, my head spinning. I looked up and found I was at the feet of Artemis, still straining under the weight of the sky.
Run, boy, she told me. You must run.
Atlas was taking his time coming toward me. My sword was gone. It had skittered away over the edge of the cliff. It might reappear in my pocket, maybe in a few seconds, but it didn't matter. I'd be dead by then. Luke and Thalia were fighting like demons, lightning crackling around them. Annabeth was on the ground, desperately struggling to free her hands.
Die, little hero,
Atlas said. He raised his javelin to impale me.
No,
Zoe yelled, and a volley of silver arrows sprouted from the armpit chink in Atlas's armor. He bellowed and turned toward his daughter. I reached down and felt Riptide back in my pocket. I couldn't fight Atlas, even with a sword. And then a chill went down my back. I remembered the words of the prophecy. The Titan's curse must one withstand. I couldn't hope to beat Atlas, but there was someone else who might stand a chance.
The sky, I told the goddess. Give it to me.
No, boy,
Artemis said. Her forehead was beaded with metallic sweat like quicksilver.
You don't know what you're asking. It will crush you.
Annabeth took it.
She barely survived. She had the spirit of a true huntress. You will not last so long.
I'll die anyway, I said. Give me the weight of the sky. I didn't wait for her answer. I took out Riptide and slashed through her chains. Then I stepped next to her and braced myself on one knee, holding up my hands, and touched the cold, heavy clouds. For a moment, Artemis and I bore the weight together. It was the heaviest thing I'd ever felt, as if I were being crushed under 1,000 trucks. I wanted to black out from the pain, but I breathed deeply. I can do this. Then Artemis slipped out from under the burden, and I held it alone. Afterward, I tried many times to explain what it felt like. I couldn't. Every muscle in my body turned to fire. My bones felt like they were melting. I wanted to scream, but I didn't have the strength to open my mouth. I began to sink lower and lower to the ground, the sky's weight crushing me.
Fight back, Grover's voice said inside my head. Don't give up.
I concentrated on breathing. If I could just keep the sky aloft a few more seconds. I thought about Bianca, who had given her life so we could get here. If she could do that, I could hold the sky. My vision turned fuzzy. Everything was tinged with red. I caught glimpses of the battle, but I wasn't sure if I was seeing clearly. There was Atlas in full battle armor, jabbing with his javelin, laughing insanely as he fought. And Artemis, a blur of silver. She had two wicked hunting knives, each as long as her arm, and she slashed wildly at the Titan, dodging and leaping with unbelievable grace. She seemed to change form as she maneuvered. She was a tiger, a gazelle, a bear, a falcon. Or perhaps that was just my fevered brain. Zoe shot arrows at her father, aiming for the chinks in his armor. He roared in pain each time one found its mark, but they affected him like bee stings. He just got madder and kept fighting. Thalia and Luke went spear on sword, lightning still flashing around them. Thalia pressed Luke back with the aura of her shield. Even he was not immune to it. He retreated, wincing and growling in frustration.
Yield! Thalia yelled. You never could beat me, Luke.
He bared his teeth.
We'll see, my old friend.
Sweat poured down my face. My hands were slippery. My shoulders would have screamed with agony if they could. I felt like the vertebrae in my spine were being welded together by a blowtorch. Atlas advanced, pressing Artemis. She was fast, but his strength was unstoppable. His javelin slammed into the earth where Artemis had been a split second before, and a fissure opened in the rocks. He leaped over it and kept pursuing her. She was leading him back toward me. Get ready, she spoke in my mind. I was losing the ability to think through the pain. My response was something like,
You fight well for a girl, Atlas laughed. But you are no match for me.
He feinted with the tip of his javelin and Artemis dodged. I saw the trick coming. Atlas's javelin swept around and knocked Artemis's legs off the ground. She fell, and Atlas brought up his javelin tip for the kill.
No!
Zoe screamed. She leaped between her father and Artemis and shot an arrow straight into the Titan's forehead, where it lodged like a unicorn's horn. Atlas bellowed in rage. He swept aside his daughter with the back of his hand, sending her flying into the black rocks. I wanted to shout her name, run to her aid, but I couldn't speak or move. I couldn't even see where Zoe had landed. Then Atlas turned on Artemis with a look of triumph in his face. Artemis seemed to be wounded. She didn't get up.
The first blood in a new war, Atlas gloated.
and he stabbed downward. As fast as thought, Artemis grabbed his javelin shaft. It hit the earth right next to her, and she pulled backward, using the javelin like a lever, kicking the Titan Lord and sending him flying over her. I saw him coming down on top of me, and I realized what would happen. I loosened my grip on the sky, and as Atlas slammed into me, I didn't try to hold on. I let myself be pushed out of the way and rolled for all I was worth. The weight of the sky dropped onto Atlas's back, almost smashing him flat until he managed to get to his knees, struggling to get out from under the crushing weight of the sky. But it was too late.
No!
He bellowed so hard it shook the mountain.
Not again!
Atlas was trapped under his old burden. I tried to stand and fell back again, dazed from pain. My body felt like it was burning up. Thalia backed Luke to the edge of a cliff, but still they fought on, next to the golden coffin. Thalia had tears in her eyes. Luke had a bloody slash across his chest, and his pale face glistened with sweat. He lunged at Thalia, and she slammed him with her shield. Luke's sword spun out of his hands and clattered to the rocks. Thalia put her spear point to his throat. For a moment, there was silence.
Well?
Luke asked. He tried to hide it, but I could hear fear in his voice. Thalia trembled with fury. Behind her, Annabeth came scrambling, finally free from her bonds. Her face was bruised and streaked with dirt.
Don't kill him! He's a traitor, Thalia said. A traitor!
In my daze, I realized that Artemis was no longer with me. She had run off toward the black rocks where Zoe had fallen.
We'll bring Luke back, Annabeth pleaded. To Olympus. He'll be useful.
Is that what you want, Thalia? Luke sneered. To go back to Olympus and triumph? To please your dad?
Thalia hesitated, and Luke made a desperate grab for her spear.
No!
Annabeth shouted, but it was too late. Without thinking, Thalia kicked Luke away. He lost his balance, terror on his face, and then he fell.
Luke!
Annabeth screamed. We rushed to the cliff's edge. Below us, the army from the Princess Andromeda had stopped in amazement. They were staring at Luke's broken form on the rocks. Despite how much I hated him, I couldn't stand to see it. I wanted to believe he was still alive, but that was impossible. The fall was 50 feet at least, and he wasn't moving. One of the giants looked up and growled,
"Kill them!"
Thalia was stiff with grief, tears streaming down her cheeks. I pulled her back as a wave of javelins sailed over our heads. We ran for the rocks, ignoring the curses and threats of Atlas as we passed.
Artemis!
I yelled. The goddess looked up, her face almost as grief-stricken as Thalia's. Zoe lay in the goddess's arms. She was breathing. Her eyes were open, but still.
The wound is poisoned, Artemis said.
Atlas poisoned her? I asked.
No, the goddess said, not Atlas.
She showed us the wound in Zoe's side. I'd almost forgotten her scrape with Leyden the dragon. The bite was much worse than Zoe had let on. I could barely look at the wound. She had charged into battle against her father with a horrible cut already sapping her strength.
The stars, Zoe murmured. I cannot see them.
Nectar and ambrosia, I said. Come on, we have to get her some. No one moved. Grief hung in the air. The army of Kronos was just below the rise. Even Artemis was too shocked to stir. We might have met our doom right there, but then I heard a strange buzzing noise. Just as the army of monsters came over the hill, a Sopwith camel swooped down out of the sky.
Get away from my daughter!
Dr. Chase called down, and his machine guns burst to life,
peppering the ground with bullet holes and startling the whole group of monsters into scattering.
"Dad?" yelled Annabeth in disbelief.
"Run!"
he called back, his voice growing fainter as the biplane swooped by. This shook Artemis out of her grief. She stared up at the antique plane, which was now banking around for another strafe. "A brave man," Artemis said with grudging approval. "Come, we must get Zoe away from here." She raised her hunting horn to her lips, and its clear sound echoed down the valleys of Marin. Zoe's eyes were fluttering. "Hang in there," I told her. "It'll be all right." The Sopwith camels swooped down again. A few giants threw javelins, and one flew straight between the wings of the plane, but the machine guns blazed. I realized with amazement that somehow Dr. Chase must have gotten hold of celestial bronze to fashion his bullets. The first row of Snake Woman wailed as the machine gun's volley blew them into sulfurous yellow powder.
"That's my dad,"
Annabeth said in amazement. We didn't have time to admire his flying. The giants and Snake Woman were already recovering from their surprise. Dr. Chase would be in trouble soon. Just then, the moonlight brightened, and a silver chariot appeared from the sky, drawn by the most beautiful deer I'd ever seen. It landed right next to us. "Get in," Artemis said. Annabeth helped me get Thalia on board. Then I helped Artemis with Zoe. We wrapped Zoe in a blanket as Artemis pulled the reins, and the chariot sped away from the mountain, straight into the air. "Like Santa Claus's sleigh," I murmured, still dazed with pain. Artemis took time to look back at me. "Indeed, young half-blood. And where do you think that legend came from?" Seeing us safely away, Dr. Chase turned his biplane and followed us like an honor guard. It must have been one of the strangest sights ever, even for the Bay Area. A silver flying chariot pulled by deer, escorted by a Sopwith camel. Behind us, the army of Kronos roared in anger as they gathered on the summit of Mount Tamalpais. But the loudest sound was the voice of Atlas, bellowing curses against the gods as he struggled under the weight of the sky. Chapter 18. A Friend Says Goodbye. We landed at Crissy Field after nightfall. As soon as Dr. Chase stepped out of his Sopwith camel, Annabeth ran to him and gave him a huge hug.
"Dad, you flew? You shot? Oh my gods, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen."
Her father blushed.
"Well, not bad for a middle-aged mortal, I suppose."
"But the celestial bronze bullets? How did you get those?"
Well, you did leave quite a few half-blood weapons in your room in Virginia the last time you left."
Annabeth looked down, embarrassed. I noticed Dr. Chase was very careful not to say ran away.
"I decided to try melting some down to make bullet casings," he continued. "Just a little experiment."
He said it like it was no big deal, but he had a gleam in his eye. I could understand all of a sudden why Athena, goddess of crafts and wisdom, had taken a liking to him. He was an excellent mad scientist at heart.
"Dad?"
Annabeth faltered.
"Annabeth! Percy!"
Thalia interrupted. Her voice was urgent. She and Artemis were kneeling at Zoe's side, binding the huntress's wounds. Annabeth and I ran over to help, but there wasn't much we could do. We had no ambrosia or nectar. No regular medicine would help. It was dark, but I could see that Zoe didn't look good. She was shivering, and the faint glow that usually hung around her was fading.
"Can't you heal her with magic?" I asked Artemis. "I mean, you're a goddess."
Artemis looked troubled.
"Life is a fragile thing, Percy. If the fates will the string to be cut, there is little I can do, but I can try."
She tried to set her hand on Zoe's side,
but Zoe gripped her wrist. She looked into the goddess's eyes, and some kind of understanding passed between them.
"Have I served thee well?" Zoe whispered.
"With great honor," Artemis said softly. "The finest of my attendants." Zoe's face relaxed.
"Rest, at last.
I can try to heal the poison, my brave one." But in that moment, I knew it wasn't just the poison that was killing her. It was her father's final blow. Zoe had known all along that the Oracle's prophecy was about her. She would die by a parent's hand, and yet she'd taken the quest anyway. She had chosen to save me, and Atlas's fury had broken her inside. She saw Thalia and took her hand.
"I am sorry we argued," Zoe said. "We could have been sisters."
"It's my fault," Thalia said, blinking hard. "You were right about Luke, about heroes, men, everything."
"Perhaps not all men,"
Zoe murmured. She smiled weakly at me.
"Do you still have the sword, Percy?"
I couldn't speak, but I brought out Riptide and put the pen in her hand. She grasped it contentedly.
"You spoke the truth, Percy Jackson. You are nothing like Hercules. I am honored that you carry this sword."
A shudder ran through her body.
"Zoe,"
I said.
"Stars," she whispered. "I can see the stars again, my lady."
A tear trickled down Artemis's cheek.
"Yes, my brave one, they are beautiful tonight." "Stars,"
Zoe repeated, her eyes fixed on the night sky, and she did not move again. Thalia lowered her head. Annabeth gulped down a sob, and her father put his hands on her shoulders. I watched as Artemis cupped her hand above Zoe's mouth and spoke a few words in ancient Greek. A silvery wisp of smoke exhaled from Zoe's lips and was caught in the hand of the goddess. Zoe's body shimmered and disappeared. Artemis stood, said a kind of blessing, breathed into her cupped hand, and released the silver dust to the sky. It flew up, sparkling, and vanished. For a moment, I didn't see anything different. Then Annabeth gasped. Looking up in the sky, I saw that the stars were brighter now. They made a pattern I had never noticed before, a gleaming constellation that looked a lot like a girl's figure, a girl with a bow, running across the sky.
"Let the world honor you, my huntress," Artemis said. "Live forever in the stars."
It wasn't easy saying our goodbyes. The thunder and lightning were still boiling over Mount Tamalpais in the north. Artemis was so upset, she flickered with silver light. This made me nervous, because if she suddenly lost control and appeared in her fully divine form, we would disintegrate by looking at her.
"I must go to Olympus immediately," Artemis said. "I will not be able to take you, but I will send help."
The goddess set her hand on Annabeth's shoulder.
"You are brave beyond measure, my girl. You will do what is right."
Then she looked quizzically at Thalia, as if she weren't sure what to make of this younger daughter of Zeus. Thalia seemed reluctant to look up, but something made her, and she held the goddess's eyes. I wasn't sure what passed between them, but Artemis's gaze softened with sympathy. Then she turned to me.
"You did well," she said, "for a man."
I wanted to protest, but then I realized it was the first time she hadn't called me a boy. She mounted her chariot, which began to glow. We averted our eyes. There was a flash of silver, and the goddess was gone.
"Well," Dr. Chase sighed,
She was impressive, though I must say I still prefer Athena.
Annabeth turned toward him. Dad, I'm sorry that...
Shh! He hugged her.
Do what you must, my dear. I know this isn't easy for you.
His voice was a little shaky, but he gave Annabeth a brave smile. Then I heard the whoosh of large wings. 3 Pegasi descended through the fog, 2 white winged horses and 1 pure black one.
Blackjack!
I called.
Yo, boss!
He called.
You managed to stay alive okay without me?
It was rough, I admitted.
I brought Guido and Pork Pie with me.
How you doing?
The other 2 Pegasi spoke in my mind. Blackjack looked me over with concern, then checked out Dr. Chase, Thalia, and Annabeth.
Any of these goons? You want us to stampede?
No, I said aloud. These are my friends. We need to get to Olympus pretty fast.
No problem,
Blackjack said.
Except for the mortal over there. Hope he's not going.
I assured him Dr. Chase was not. The professor was staring open-mouthed at the Pegasi.
Fascinating, he said. Such maneuverability. How does the wingspan compensate for the weight of the horse's body, I wonder?
Blackjack cocked his head.
What?
Why, if the British had had these Pegasi in the cavalry charges on the Crimea,
Dr. Chase said,
the charge of the Light Brigade...
Dad! Annabeth interrupted. Dr. Chase blinked. He looked at his daughter and managed a smile.
I'm sorry, my dear. I know you must go.
He gave her one last awkward, well-meaning hug. As she turned to climb aboard the Pegasus Guido, Dr. Chase called,
Annabeth, I know San Francisco is a dangerous place for you. But please remember, you always have a home with us. We will keep you safe.
Annabeth didn't answer, but her eyes were red as she turned away. Dr. Chase started to say more, then apparently thought better of it. He raised his hand in a sad farewell and trudged away across the dark field. Thalia and Annabeth and I mounted our Pegasi. Together, we soared over the bay and flew toward the eastern hills. Soon, San Francisco was only a glittering crescent behind us, with an occasional flicker of lightning in the north. Thalia was so exhausted she fell asleep on Pork Pie's back. I knew she had to be really tired to sleep in the air, despite her fear of heights, but she didn't have much to worry about. Her Pegasus flew with ease, adjusting himself every once in a while so Thalia stayed safely on his back. Annabeth and I flew along side by side. Your dad seems cool, I told her. It was too dark to see her expression. She looked back, even though California was far behind us now.
I guess so, she said. We've been arguing for so many years.
Yeah, you said. You think I was lying about that? It sounded like a challenge, but a pretty half-hearted one, like she was asking it of herself. I didn't say you were lying. It's just, he seems okay. Your stepmom, too. Maybe they've, gotten cooler since you saw them last. She hesitated. They're still in San Francisco, Percy. I can't live so far from camp. I didn't want to ask my next question. I was scared to know the answer, but I asked it anyway. So, what are you going to do now? We flew over a town, an island of lights in the middle of the dark. It whisked by so fast we might have been in an airplane.
I don't know, she admitted, but thank you for rescuing me.
Hey, no big deal. We're friends.
You didn't believe I was dead?
Never. She hesitated. Neither is Luke, you know. I mean, he isn't dead. I stared at her. I didn't know if she was cracking under the stress or what.
Annabeth, that fall was pretty bad. There's no way...
He isn't dead, she insisted. I know it.
the same way you knew about me. That comparison didn't make me too happy. The towns were zipping by faster now. Islands of light thicker together until the whole landscape below was a glittering carpet. Dawn was close. The eastern sky was turning gray, and up ahead, a huge white and yellow glow spread out before us, the lights of New York.
"How's that for speedy, boss?"
Blackjack bragged.
"We get extra hay for breakfast or what?"
"You're the man, Blackjack," I told him. The horse, I mean. "You don't believe me about Luke," Annabeth said, "but we'll see him again. He's in trouble, Percy. He's under Kronos' spell." I didn't feel like arguing, though it made me mad. How could she still have any feelings for that creep? How could she possibly make excuses for him? He deserved that fall. He deserved... Okay, I'll say it. He deserved to die. Unlike Bianca... Unlike Zoe, Luke couldn't be alive. It wouldn't be fair.
"There it is!"
Thalia's voice. She'd woken up. She was pointing toward Manhattan, which was quickly zooming into view.
"It started!"
"What started?" I asked. Then I looked where she was pointing. High above the Empire State Building, Olympus was its own island of light. A floating mountain ablaze with torches and braziers. White marble palaces gleaming in the early morning air.
"The winter solstice," Thalia said. "The Council of the Gods."
Chapter 19. The Gods Vote How to Kill Us. Flying was bad enough for a son of Poseidon, but flying straight up to Zeus's palace, with thunder and lightning swirling around it, was even worse. We circled over Midtown Manhattan, making one complete orbit around Mount Olympus. I'd only been there once before, traveling by elevator up to the secret 600th floor of the Empire State Building. This time, if it was possible, Olympus amazed me even more. In the early morning darkness, torches and fires made the mountainside palaces glow 20 different colors, from blood red to indigo. Apparently, no one ever slept on Olympus. The twisting streets were full of demigods and nature spirits and minor godlings bustling about, riding chariots or sedan chairs carried by cyclopes. Winter didn't seem to exist here. I caught the scent of the gardens in full bloom, jasmine and roses and even sweeter things I couldn't name. Music drifted up from many windows, the soft sounds of lyres and reed pipes. Towering at the peak of the mountain was the greatest palace of all, the glowing white hall of the gods. Our Pegasi set us down in the outer courtyard, in front of huge silver gates. Before I could even think to knock, the gates opened by themselves.
"Good luck, boss!"
Blackjack said. Yeah. I didn't know why, but I had a sense of doom. I'd never seen all the gods together. I knew any one of them could blast me to dust, and a few of them would like to.
"Hey, if you don't come back, can I have your cabin for my stable?"
I looked at the Pegasus.
"Just a thought," he said. "Sorry."
Blackjack and his friends flew off, leaving Thalia, Annabeth, and me alone. For a minute, we stood there regarding the palace, the way we'd stood together in front of Westover Hall, what seemed like a million years ago. And then, side by side, we walked into the throne room. 12 enormous thrones made a U around a central hearth, just like the placement of the cabins at camp. The ceiling above glittered with constellations, even the newest one, Zoe the Huntress, making her way across the heavens with her bow drawn. All of the seats were occupied. Each god and goddess was about 15 feet tall, and I'm telling you, if you've ever had a dozen all-powerful, super-huge beings turn their eyes on you at once, well, suddenly, facing monsters seemed like a picnic.
"Welcome, heroes," Artemis said.
"Moo!"
That's when I noticed Bessie and Grover. A sphere of water was hovering in the center of the room, next to the hearth fire. Bessie was swimming happily around, swishing his serpent tail and poking his head out of the sides and bottom of the sphere. He seemed to be enjoying the